today I am at 540 West 21st Street in New York City, the home of iBeam.org. Now, iBeam is a creative lab, studio, digital technology artist space. What exactly does that mean? Let's go inside and find out. Only searching for the light to answer. Now you face the final time to let me see. All right, everybody, so this is Amanda, and Amanda is the executive director of iBeam.org. Now, what does that mean?
iBeam.org?
Well, let's start with an overview. What is iBeam.org?
iBeam is an art and technology center. We're based here in Chelsea, as you know, because mm-hmm. that's where you arrived to come and interview me.
Yep.
We're an art and technology center, and what that means is that we're a place where we have three different lab environments where we invite artists and creative technologists to come and make work.
Uh-huh.
And we also run exhibitions, forums, seminars for the public so that we can present that work to the public. So at the moment, for example, we've got 10 people working at iBeam on fellowships,
uh-huh.
and then probably another 10, 12, 13 different artists or artist groups working on one-off projects or research agendas here. So a fellowship means someone's here for a year making work.
Uh-huh.
And a residency, people are here generally for about 6 months working on a particular project or research agenda. So it's an active place where there's a lot of artists and technologists. Yeah, noisy, chaotic.
Yes. Oh, sorry. No. And now you mentioned there were three different lab environments. What are those?
Yeah, the lab environments, the way we describe them is the R&D open lab. So mm-hmm. that's the environment. I think you were talking to Jamie in that lab.
Uh-huh.
And in that lab, everybody commits to producing their work for the public domain. So software is released open source,
mm-hmm.
hardware is released with DIY kits. We're into Creative Commons licenses in that space. But we've got a bunch of hardware equipment there, like a 3D printer and a laser cutter,
uh-huh.
so we can think about rapid prototyping, so it's not just computing. In the production lab, we have more computing power.
Yeah.
And in that lab, people work more on animation, graphics, data visualization, interaction design,
mm-hmm.
some software development too. And then the lab that we're actually standing in at the moment, we call the education lab.
Yeah.
Education here isn't about teaching people skills. It's more about a project-based approach to learning. So, again, it's an active studio where artists work on projects, but mostly projects where they also engage with a community in one way or another. So it might be working with young people to develop a website with them, so the content is the content of the young people.
Uh-huh.
Or it might be working with kind of young adults on a VJ workshop like Benton
okay.
Bainbridge, and then he'll be teaching them how to become DJs in that kind of way, but they work quite collaboratively.
And then where do you said that's an art and technology, so is there a standard or guidelines of what it requires to become an iBeam artist, or how do you find these people and how do you decide whether or not they're allowed to be invited?
That's always a tricky one.
Yeah.
It's actually an open call for pretty much all of our programs.
So anyone can apply?
Anyone can apply. They have to demonstrate their interest in technology, their creative ambitions. It doesn't need to be necessarily exactly an artist. There are some people who work in the building who prefer to call themselves a creative engineer than an
okay.
artist. But it is creative applications of technology we're interested in. It's not only your interest in contemporary culture and how technology affects our lives and the kind of creative output there might be.
Mm-hmm.
It's also we do a kind of marriage dance thing too. So we kind of curate the people, if you like. We ensure that we always bring in people with different skill sets. So it might be some people who are software engineers,
right.
some people who work more with kind of microelectronics, some people who work with video or sound, other people who do programming work or have a particular skill with graphics.
Right. And now the fellows, they're paid. This is a salary-based job, right? I mean, who's giving the money? Where is it funded?
It's really exciting. I think it's probably one of the only places in the world, really, where artists are paid. You know, it's not a big salary. It's a mini salary, but people are expected.
But you get to hang out here.
Oh, you totally get to hang out here, and that's lots of fun.
Yeah.
We get funding from all sorts of different sources. The MacArthur Foundation, for example, provides us with a big grant for the
mm-hmm.
R&D Open Lab. Time Warner have a program that they provide funding for this lab, the Education Lab.
Yeah.
We get government funding from the New York State Council on the Arts, from the Department of Cultural Affairs in New York City, also
mm-hmm.
from the NEA. And then a big chunk of our money actually comes from generous individuals, I have to say.
And past alumni, perhaps?
Sometimes past alumni, yeah.
And now, what is the showcase that do people come in here? Would you say this is also doubling as a gallery, or do you go out and display the work in other environments or other
you know, locations.
We totally are a gallery as well. You'll have seen the space that we're setting up for the party on Thursday night. You can see it's a kind of chaos site at the moment. It'll be a beautiful venue.
I thrive in chaos, so it's good.
Yeah, totally. It'll be a beautiful venue for a party on Thursday night for a benefit event, set up with stage for performances for sound and vision. Uh-huh. It also is a raw gallery space. So if you come here on the 31st of this month, then there will be an exhibition installed of work by iBeam alumni. Kind of looking at back at 10 years of iBeam.
Fun. Now, that's right, 10 years you guys have been running. How long have you been involved with iBeam?
I've only been here for 1.5 years.
And already straight to executive director.
Just like that.
And now what exactly does an executive director do? Are you sort of a curator?
Yeah, totally. I mean, a big part of my money is actually managing all of the people and the artists in the organization. A big part of it is making sure that we're financially stable and can still keep paying all of those artists. And, of course, a big part of it is curatorial. So I'm the artistic director. I work pretty closely with a lot of my staff on that, though. Mm-hmm. We kind of figure that in a new media art or an art and technology field, pretty much everything happens collaboratively.
Sure.
Not to make one work or one performance, there's not one person who has all of the skills. There are sound people, visual people, people have kind of more programming or engineering kind of backgrounds. We feel a bit the same about a curatorial practice here. So Liz Slagers, who's my Director of Education and Public Programs, Paul Amatai, who's, you know, our programming coordinator, and I work really closely together as a team. And then for the last show we did, two of our senior fellows actually co-curated the show with us because it was dealing with art in public places and graffiti and technology in public space. So that was their research interest. So they literally came in as part of the curatorial team to make that show.
And then are you an artist or a creative engineer?
People often ask that question when you're a cultural producer or cultural worker. Right. My answer to that is usually no, I'm not an artist. I don't make work. What I do make is situations.
Yes, you make it happen.
I make it happen.
Well, thank you very much. And now if you have this event coming up and there's the website. The website is, actually, here's another question. Is that designed by your artist? Because I think your website's pretty extensive and like fun to click around. I've spent an hour there.
It's a pretty extensive website. It wasn't designed by artists in the building at the moment. We are about to do a redesign of it, but it's a pretty interesting website and does have lots of documentation of the kinds of projects that have been done here. On the night of our party, it's also going to be a venue for the party because we're going to be inviting people to come in and participate on if they can't get a ticket to the party or they can't be in New York on the night.
So we'd be like webcasting, streaming. Is there like a webcam?
There'll be a little bit of webcasting or video going onto the website. There'll also be continual updates on the reblog part of our site, which is a project that was done by some creative engineers who worked here some time ago. And Mike Freeman actually worked with Stamen Design on developing Reblog. And it's a site that will be updated all night with images from the party and images from what's going on. So it'll be fun.
Interactive and inclusive. Well, I'm going to let you get back to work because I know you guys have a lot of stuff to get ready for the big party. And we're going to run around and take a look at some technology-based art. Hey, everybody, this is Jamie O'Shea. Now, Jamie, you're an artist here. Now, you said you were a resident artist at iBeam, right? Now, what does that mean?
It means I'm here for 6 months, and I get a desk space and some shared studio space and a wood shop and a bunch of tools. And there's like 6 residents at a time and a bunch of fellows, and we collaborate. And we get pretty free rein about what kind of projects we want to complete while we're here.
Cool. Now, what's the difference between a resident and a fellow?
Fellows are here longer, and they have, like, a salary.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's good to be a fellow.
Yeah, definitely.
And how did you get involved with iBeam?
I found out about iBeam just through liking the work that I saw here, and then they have an open application process for their residency and for shows.
Yeah, and now you said it's a 6-month residency. How far into your term are you?
About 3 days overdue to leave, probably.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm on my way out. But I'm here to do this benefit, this celebrity-themed benefit for the 10-year anniversary. And so my cohorts and I are working on a machine that transfers celebrity from a pre-existing celebrity to a non-famous person.
Can you explain a little bit further? You lost me.
Yeah, well, it's kind of the simplest machine in the world in a way.
Okay.
Because all it really does is take a non-famous person and a famous person, put them together looking ridiculous, and then in theory, people around them take a picture of this and videotape it, and that
is
a fame machine, if you will.
I get it. I like it. Now, you said you built this machine particularly for this event, right?
It's Been in trials prior to this. That's what I submitted for my residency,
is this
machine. Yeah, and it's evolved since we've been here.
And now, what's your background? Did you go to art school?
I did. I went to a liberal arts college, and I was an art major.
Okay. And now, you said you're here. They give you a desk. They give you a space. How many days of the week do you spend here creating?
Six.
Six?
Yeah, I'm here a lot.
You're here a lot.
Yeah.
And now, the Fame Machine, is it working? Can we see it?
I have a few pieces here.
Walk me through it. Let's see what we got here.
This helmet right here.
Oh, the helmet.
Of lenses, which is essentially a non-machine again. Goes over the person who is already famous.
Yeah.
It will lower from the ceiling onto them. And then it will explode, more or less. The machine fails to succeed, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
In order to be funny, we thought it had to fall apart, so we've done various versions of exploding it. And
right, because iBeam is known for merging technology with art. Is that where the technology aspect comes in?
Yeah, yeah. It's commentary on technology more than an actual technology. But
what do you use to make it explode?
Gunpowder.
Oh, really? Explode?
Yeah. Well, in here,
gotcha.
It'll be mostly antique flash bulbs, but there will be some gunpowder too.
And now I see a structure of lenses there. Is that part of the Fame Machine? Do you want to explain to me what's going on over here?
This is an array of flash bulbs and lenses that will connect the famous person in that helmet to the chamber out there.
Oh, the chamber.
Through the window where the non-famous person...
Oh, the big bulbs.
Yes.
We'll get that in a second.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Non-famous person in their underwear will be crouched inside.
The underwear part is essential.
Yeah, well, it's good to have some underwear so as not to generate... There's like X amount of scandal that will increase fame and not infamy.
Yeah.
So we've done a lot of research into these phenomena of celebritology, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. And do you have any idea who your celebrity victim will be?
Right now it looks like it will be the Yes Men.
Okay.
Who are celebrity artists, kind of. They're cool. They're great guys. A lot of people know them.
Okay, and so after iBeam, because I know they're trying to kick you out,
yeah.
What's next for you?
Good question. I'm going to go build a studio in rural Montana, and then I'm going to go to a different residency.
Really? Are you serious in Montana?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then, I don't know.
All right, well, thank you for your time, Jamie. I'm going to let you get back to work building
cool.
If you need a celebrity, I mean, you know, hey, that's all I'm saying.
Awesome. I'll keep you on the roster.
Thank you. All right, everybody, this is Jeff Krause. Now, Jeff is what they call a fellow right here. Now, what's the difference between a resident and a fellow?
Residents come in to do a more specific project, whereas fellows come in to pursue like a more broad, just whatever they're interested in. So
there's less rules placed on you, say?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Pretty cool. And how long have you been here for?
This is going on my 7th month, I believe.
Very cool. And is there an application process? How do you get to become a fellow where they place no rules on you? It seems like a good place to be.
You just apply. You send in some work samples and like what you plan to do while you're here. And there's a very complicated committee process, I'm sure, that it goes through.
Uh-huh.
And
then what did you use to apply? What did you submit?
Well, I just finished grad school down in Atlanta, and so I did a bunch of projects there involving web-based applications.
Okay.
Tried to use the web in different ways to imitate artificial intelligence for entertainment purposes. We're having a big benefit here, and so we're just sort of turning the art of tabloid journalism and sort of digging up dirt. The project is called Dirt Party, and so the theme is like I'm gathering all these people together, researchers from CNN and the New York Public Library and writers from The Onion and Gawker. And so we're going to be just basically trying to embarrass people with information that we dig up about them on the web.
I don't like that one bit.
At this party. And so I built this web application that just allows everyone to collaborate. And so we have these these tabloid templates, and then people use this system to so I can like assign these different panels, the different stories to the different writers that we have, and assign the researchers to do research on certain people and dig up this dirt, and then it all sort of gets projected onto the wall as these tabloid covers. One other project that I've done is called Earthify. What it does is...
this is out there now. It lives on the web, so everyone in our audience can go and click on, what is it, earthify.org?
Yeah, or earthify.ibeam.org.
Okay.
And this was just a simple mashup that I did because when I first got to New York, I was looking at an apartment in Brooklyn, and I wasn't really familiar with Brooklyn that much. And mm-hmm. so every day I'd go to Craigslist and look at all the postings.
New Yorker's Bible.
Yeah. And but that wasn't really, I mean, it was kind of a pain to go there every day and like scroll through all the listings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made this little bookmarklet, it's called, which is just a little button you put up in your browser window here. And there's a movie online of it in action. And what it does is it goes and scrapes all of Craigslist and finds the addresses of all of the apartment postings for any given search that you could do on Craigslist. For instance, if you want an apartment in a certain price range or that allows dogs or cats, you can get any of that. And so then you click on the little bookmarklet, and what it does is it opens up Google Earth, which is a mapping application that allows for all kinds of cool stuff like overlaying the subway lines. But yeah, I got a lot of good feedback on it.
Cool, very cool, very cool. Unless you get back to work, thank you for your time. This is awesome. So there you have it. Hopefully we have educated and inspired you with iBeam.org, the Center for Arts and Technology. And if you need to know more, you can always go to iBeam.org.